You have your Bibles with you today. If you would turn to the little book of Philemon, the little book directly before the book of Hebrews. And today, we're going to be continuing through the series called Pray, as we look at things that we should be praying for in this new year. And we're going to continue to be looking at specifically prayers of the Apostle Paul. And as we saw last week and talked about last week, when Paul prays, he always kind of has a specific way that he prays. He will give his prayer request, and then he will follow that with "so that," because he's giving us, "I pray for this so that that you will see this desired result." He always prays with a purpose. Because last week we saw that he prayed for the church in Ephesus, and he prayed that they would have power. And he prayed that they would have power so that the presence of Christ would dwell in their inner beings. It was a big, specific prayer. And today we're going to look at a prayer in which Paul asked that the followers of Christ would fully understand all the good things that they have in Christ. That's a pretty good prayer, isn't it? Shouldn't we all pray that? That we would all have a better and fuller understanding of all the good things we have in Christ. Because let's be honest, we have a lot of good things in Christ. A lot of things that we often don't even think about or think of. And so it would benefit us all to have that better understanding. But if we pray this, I want to warn you, it's kind of a tricky prayer. Because have you ever heard how, you know, you really shouldn't pray for patience? Because if you pray for patience, what you're really asking for is you're praying that God would send trials and troubles into your life so that you could learn patience. So you always hear, oh, don't pray for patience, as you don't want the intended result that's going to come along with that. Because see, this is kind of like that. Because if you pray that you have a better understanding of all the good things that you have in Christ, here's what you're really praying for. You're praying, God, help me to be more active in sharing my faith. Did you catch that? I said, if you want to have a better understanding of all the good things that you have in Christ, the only way you can do that is by being more active in sharing your faith. And you might say, well, why do you say that, Pastor? Well, I say that because if you have your Bibles today, you can turn and we're going to be looking at the little book of Philemon. This is an interesting little book in the Bible. It's actually a personal letter that Paul wrote Philemon. And Philemon was a very successful businessman. He even had a church that met on a weekly basis in his house. And so we find that he had that church met every single week in his house, but this letter is being written to him because one of his slaves, Onesimus, ran away to Rome. And while Onesimus was in Rome, he actually ran into Paul. And Paul began to talk with him, and Paul led Onesimus to Christ. And his life was completely changed and transformed. And he began to say, well, I need to go back to Philemon. I need to make things right. It was wrong of me to run away. And I'm going to go back, and I'm going to correct all my wrongs, and I'm going to make things right with him. And Paul's like, that's a good thing. That's a great thing. But he says, let me write this letter. So he sends a letter back with Onesimus to Philemon, in which he is vouching for Onesimus. Basically, Paul is saying to Philemon, you need to understand, Jesus has changed this man's life, and he's coming back to you, and I want you to accept him as a brother, because he is now in Christ. And so you need to accept him as a brother in the Lord. And so this is a very heartfelt and emotional plea that Paul is making to Philemon on behalf of this slave whose life was transformed. And so let's begin looking at what Paul has to say. We're going to begin reading here in verse 4, where Paul says, I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have towards the Lord Jesus and for all of the saints. Now let's stop there real quick, just a few things to say on that. Notice what Paul says. He says, I always thank God as I remember you in my prayer for two reasons. First of all, because of the faith that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's like, I'm thankful that you have this faith, that you've put your trust in Jesus. And then the second thing he says, I praise God for every time I pray for you, is because of the love that you have for all the other followers of Jesus Christ. And so he says, I'm thankful for these things in your life. But then in verse 6, notice what he says. He says, and I pray that the sharing of your faith may become more effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. Notice Paul prays for Philemon. He prays that he might be active in sharing his faith so that he will have a fuller and better understanding of all the good things that he has in Christ. Now notice here is Philemon. He has a church meeting in his house, and here's one of his slaves who is not a follower of God. It is Paul who leads Onesimus to Christ, and now he's going to make things right. And Paul says to Philemon, I pray that you will be active in sharing your faith. And here's the first thing I want you to notice here this morning. If you're taking notes, take note of this. I want you to take note of the danger of self-centered Christianity. Now, I don't know the full backstory of this story. The Bible doesn't provide it for us. But I think the reason why Paul is sharing this with Philemon is because he knows that the most dangerous place for Christians to get is to be inward-looking, self-centered version of Christianity, where instead of loving those who are far from God, we start judging those who are far from God. Instead of having an attitude of trying to reach out, we have an attitude of trying to retreat and hide and run from the people in the world. Before long, a lot of people are like this. You just need to stay away from the world. The world is bad. The world is evil. You don't even need to be a part of it. You don't need to interact with anybody in it. It's almost like when I was in college, we had what we called the union bubble, because we said union was very different than anywhere else. Because once you stepped outside of that bubble, it was like just headlong rush into the world. But when you were there, it's like, oh, this is what Christianity is. This is great. This is wonderful. I wish I could just stay here all my life. Sometimes we get like that in the church. We want to stay within our own little bubble and avoid the world because it is evil. It is full of all those people who watch R-rated movies. It is full of all those people who listen to all that secular music. And so we want to avoid them. We want to stay away from them because they're non-Christians. And what this creates is a form of retreatism where we run and we hide. But do you remember the last words that Jesus gave to his disciples before he ascended to heaven? Acts chapter 1:8 says this. This is Jesus speaking. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Notice that Jesus doesn't say, I want you to run and hide in your churches. I want you to run and hide in your houses. No, he says, I want you to go into the world, and I want you to preach the gospel. I want you to go and make disciples all throughout the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so we can see, he says, you are to be the salt of the earth. You are to be the light of the world. So he says, don't run from the darkness and hide. Instead, he says, you're supposed to go out into the darkness and shine. But the problem is not. But the problem is, it is so easy for us to become inward-looking and just focus on each other and trying to make each other happy. That's one of the greatest challenges the church faces, to become focused on each other. And let me tell you, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. That's a good thing. It's a good thing to be concerned about each other. It's a good thing to be loving on each other and to be helping each other. As we see, actually, Paul commends Philemon for that because of the love he has for the brothers and sisters in Christ. But the problem is that so many times we can become focused on loving each other that we forget about those who are outside the church. And the only way that we can show love to them is by being active in sharing our faith. And I believe almost everyone in this room, if I were to ask you, do you think it's important that you personally share your faith? I would say probably almost everyone in this room would say, yes, Pastor, that's right. Lifeway actually did some research on this, and they discovered that 80% of everyone who attends church at least one time a month, 80% believe that they have a personal responsibility to share their faith. 80% say that. But you want to know what's sad? Out of that 80%, 60% said that they had never even shared their faith once in their life. 14%, only 14%, had even shared their faith in the past 6 months. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? We say it's important. We believe it's important, but many of us don't share our faith as much as we should. And I believe that there's a number of reasons why this happens. I believe life sometimes just gets busy and we forget about the importance of it. I think sometimes we're afraid of being labeled as the weird person that loves Jesus so much. Or maybe you won't catch this, but when I was younger and in the youth, the famous song of being labeled a Jesus freak. We're afraid of being labeled that Jesus freak, that person who just loves Jesus way too much. I believe we're afraid of forcing our beliefs on someone else, especially in the culture that we live in. And I believe, though, that one of the biggest reasons why we do not share our faith more often is because many people feel that they do not know enough. Many people say, well, I don't understand my faith enough. I don't understand the Bible enough to share my faith, because what if somebody asked me a question that I do not know? But here's the tension with that. Because we often think, if I knew more, if I had a better understanding of the gospel, then I would share my faith more. But the thing is, Paul is implying here in this passage that that's not the way it happens. Because notice what he says, when you share your faith, then you begin to understand it more. See, Paul is praying here that we would constantly share our faith in Jesus, because when we share our faith in Jesus, something very positive happens. Lives are impacted. Lives are changed. And it's just amazing. You might be planting a seed. You might be watering a seed. Maybe you're even bringing in the harvest. But when you share your faith, when you share the gospel, lives are impacted. And as you do this, though, Paul is showing us something else happens. Something amazing happens. Not only do you impact the life of the person you are sharing with, but Paul is saying here, your life is also impacted as you share your faith, because you begin to gain a fuller understanding of every good thing that you have in Christ. And suddenly, when you share your faith, you are growing deeper in your relationship with Jesus, and you began to focus outwardly. You began to walk by the Spirit, and so you want to even share your faith even more. And we began to have a very outward focus, very evangelistic focus, a loving focus towards other people. So as you love God, then you also love people, and you want to share your faith more and more. And as you do so, more lives are impacted, and you continue to grow deeper in your understanding. And you continue to have a more outward focus. But see, the problem is we often view it exactly opposite. We don't think we know enough, or we're not good enough, or we're not ready, so we don't share our faith. And we've discovered in Southern Baptist circles, years ago, they tried an idea, well, what we're going to do is, as somebody comes to Christ, we're going to train them up. So we're going to train them up for 6 months, 2 years, it even went up to 3 years. And they would say, what we want you to do is we want you to go through all this training. We don't want you to do anything else. Just sit here and learn all this knowledge. And then at the end of those 3 years, we're going to send you out. You want to know what they discovered? After 3 years of that person sitting on the sideline, they never moved off of it. Because they told them, we want you to sit first. We want to teach you so you can learn more and then go. But Paul is saying here, no, you need to go and you need to share, because as you share, you begin to learn. That is one of the ways of learning. And so if you actually do this, if this is your prayer, you pray, God, I want to understand all that I have in Christ. I want a better understanding of that. Father, I pray that you would help me to be more active in your faith. If you pray this, let me just warn you. If you start praying that, then you will become more aware of the opportunities that you have every single day. God will place those opportunities before you, and you will realize, I actually have that opportunity. And so, because so many people feel that they are not equipped, I want to give you today four simple ways that you can share your faith. And when you start praying that you will be more active, then God is going to provide those opportunities. And I want you to be ready so that you will have a deeper understanding, and suddenly you're going to find yourself growing spiritually. So I want to share with you, as I said, four ways that you can share your faith. And the first way is you can be loving but direct. You can be loving but direct. We see this in how Peter shares the gospel when he's preaching to thousands of people. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, it says, "And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Notice here how direct Peter is. Yes, he's been loving, but he is also direct. He didn't say to him, "You know, guys, I'm thinking you might should explore all of your spiritual options, and maybe, you know, you could think about what would happen to you." No, he's very direct. He says, "You need to repent of your sins. You need to turn to God, and you need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ." And there will be times in your life that God will lead you to be direct like this, and you need to obey the prompting of the Holy Spirit. But now, you don't just come out and be direct all the way, all the time like this. That's not always how you do it. Sometimes you're not as direct. But there are times when God will lead you to be direct, and you should. And the second way you can share your faith, every single one of you in the room can do this at any time, is you can share your story. Y'all have heard me talk about this a lot. It's been one of my focuses here over the 3.5 years that I've been here, of sharing your story. Because if you are a follower of Christ in this room here this morning, you have a very powerful story. We see this we see an example of this in John chapter 9. There you find a story of a man who was born blind. And the disciples come upon him, and they're arguing about, why is this man blind? Is it the sin of his parents, or is it his sin himself? And Jesus says, it's neither. It's not because of their sin, but it's so that the glory of God could be known. And we find that Jesus heals this man, and this man can now see, but a big problem. Jesus healed this man on the Sabbath. And see, on the Sabbath, you weren't supposed to do anything. And so the Pharisees notice, and they're upset. So they began to argue with each other, and they began to think Jesus is a sinner because he healed this man on the Sabbath. But there's other Pharisees that are saying, how in the world can he be a sinner if he did such a miraculous thing? And so they're trying to figure out what's going on here. So they're like, well, maybe he wasn't even blind. Maybe this is all just an act. So they call in the man's parents, and they're like, was your son really blind, or is he just acting as a way to try to get some money here, you know? What's really going on? And his parents say, no, our son is really blind. So they're still trying to figure out what's going on. So they call in this man and they say, what happened to you? And he's like, I don't understand the arguments that you're having. I don't understand all the theological debate that is going on here. But here is the one thing I know. I was blind, but now I see. You can keep arguing all you want, but that is my story. I know I woke up yesterday and I was blind, but today I can see. That's all I know. I was blind, but now I see. And let me tell you, if you are a follower of Christ here this morning, the greatest weapon you have is your story. All I know is that I used to be an addict, but because of Jesus, I am not. All I know is I used to be hurting, but because of Jesus, I now have peace. All I know is I used to be lost, but because of Jesus, I am now found. All you have to do is tell your story. All I know is I was dead, but now I'm alive. Every single one of you have a story. And what you will find that is so amazing is that as you share your story, God will use that to impact other people. Because your story will begin to overlap theirs. Oh, I was a lost child too. Oh, I was adopted too. Oh, I lost a marriage too. Oh, I was rejected by a church too. Oh, I had this happen to me too, but let me tell you what God did. And it's so amazing that you can share your faith simply through telling your story. And God will so often bless that, and you will be able to impact so many lives simply by sharing your story. A third way you can share your faith is simply to invite people to church. Now let me tell you, it doesn't get any easier than this. Hey, why don't you come to church with me on Sunday? Pretty simple, isn't it? Actually, let's practice that here this morning. I want to do something a little different. Let's practice that. I want to show you how simple it is. So in just a moment, we're all going to say that together, this phrase, all right? Hey, why don't you come to church with me on Sunday? All right, got it? All right, let's say it together, everybody, at one time. Hey, why don't you come to church with me on Sunday? Pretty easy, right? Didn't take too much effort to say that. See how easy it is? That's simple. That we could all share our faith by inviting somebody to church. And in fact, this is essentially what the woman does in John's Gospel. In chapter 4, we find that Jesus is there and he comes across a Samaritan woman. She was a sinful woman, and he begins to engage her in conversation. And let me tell you, this is something that no Jewish man would do. You wouldn't ever be caught talking to a Samaritan, especially a Samaritan woman. But he begins to talk with her, and he's like, man, you've had 5 husbands. And in fact, the man you're actually living with right now, he's not even your husband. And she's amazed. She's like, how does this man know all this about me? And he begins to talk with her, and he says, you know, basically, you're thirsting. You're wanting something more, but all you're doing is just drinking regular water, and you're still wanting more. It's not quenching your thirst. And he says, but I want to offer you something far greater. I want to offer you living water, and if you drink of this, you will never thirst anymore. And this woman begins to understand who he is. That he's truly a man of God, that he's a prophet, and that he has spoken all this. And so she runs back to her community, and she says, all of you, she says all to all of her neighbors, you need to come and meet this man. He knew everything about me. He is a prophet of God. You need to come and meet this man. Just come with me and meet him. Very simply, she's inviting them to church. She's saying, why don't you just come with me and meet this man? And see, that's what you can do. Just come with me. Just come to church. Just give it a try. And that's something that every single one of you can do. And a fourth way you can share your faith is to live a life that others would want. In fact, Paul and Silas did this. In the book of Acts, we see that they got arrested and they're in prison. You want to know what they're doing while they're in prison? They're sitting there having church. They're worshiping God. They're singing songs. They're just having a good old time of worship while they're in their prison cell. And the guard is there. He hears them doing this. But all of a sudden, an earthquake comes. And all the jail cells, the doors fly open. The jailer thinks, oh no, they're all escaped. He knew that his life would be taken because he was responsible. So he's getting ready to kill himself. And Paul says, stop it. We're all here. And this man responds, and he says, I want what you have. So he asks, what must I do to be saved? Basically, he's saying, I've seen what you have, and it's something I don't have, and I want it. And I've seen this in so many other people. There's those who find out that they have cancer, and they're not rocked by it. They have a peace going through it, and when asked, how in the world are you doing that? They respond, I've got the grace of Jesus carrying me. I can't tell you how many times I've been in a hospital, and the people there in the hospital bed are sharing their faith with the nurses, with the doctors, with every single person that comes in, because everybody's just amazed at how they're handling the trouble they're going through. How are you so hopeful? How are you at such peace? Well, let me tell you, it's because of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we want to be a people who are sharing our faith. That's why we should be praying this exact same prayer for ourselves, that we would have a better understanding of all the good things in God, and that that we would be more active in sharing our faith. Because when we share our faith, guess what happens? We get to be a part of someone's divine story. You get to be a part of someone's spiritual story. Maybe you're just planting the seed. Maybe you're watering the seed. Maybe you are harvesting the seed. But when you share your story, when you share the gospel, you're impacting someone else's life. And when you do that, it brings about spiritual momentum and faith in your heart. And it's just an amazing feeling, and it helps excite you and motivate you to keep growing in the Lord. And as you share your faith, it helps your faith to grow. Because as you share your faith, lives are changed and you get a deeper understanding of every good thing that you have in Christ, and your focus becomes more outward. You loving focus to people who are far from God, and therefore you want to do more and more of it. And your faith grows as you learn about who God is, and you also become more obedient. And it is also while you are sharing your faith that you are reminded of what you have in Christ. That's how you get a better understanding. Because it's like almost as if when you share your faith, it's almost like you're hearing it for the first time again. And you're reminded of all that God has done for you. And you're reminded of how great your God is. And you began to share the promises of God, and you say that God is not promising to give you a perfect life. He's not promising you that you will never experience problems again, but instead, in the middle of those problems, God is giving you a supernatural peace so that you can endure. And it's a peace that goes beyond our human understanding. And the Spirit moves in you, and you remember about this God who loves you, who knows you, who speaks to you, who cares about you. And let me just say, it's impossible for you to be lukewarm when you're having this experience. It's impossible when you're having that experience for you not to be motivated and for you not to grow, because you will just become so overwhelmed as you gain a deeper understanding of all the good things you have in Christ. And maybe you were here this morning and you've heard about what is possible in Christ, and you're saying, I don't think I have that. You don't have to be someone in off the street. The reality is, even as a church person, you can be here this morning and not have that. You can go to church and not have an understanding of all the good things you have in Christ. You can go to church and not personally know God. But today, you have that opportunity. Or maybe you say, I'm not a religious person, I'm not a church guy, and even if I were to come to God, I'd have to clean my life up first. But again, that's the wrong order. It's just like this, I've got to know more before I can share my faith. Paul says, no, you share your faith, and through that, you begin to learn more. The thing is, you don't clean yourself up before you come to God. You come to God first, and He cleans you up. So in a moment, we're going to have a time of response after we pray together. And maybe you're here, and maybe you're saying, you know, I've never shared my faith. But today I want to pray that God will give me those opportunities, and I want to be faithful and share my faith so that I can better understand who my God is and what He's done for me. Maybe you're thinking, well, I used to be zealous for Christ. I used to be all excited. When I was saved, I ran out those doors and I shouted from the rooftops what God has done for me. But that's been years ago. I want to return. I want to grow closer in my relationship with God, because as I've stopped sharing my faith, I've realized I've stopped growing as I should. So today, I want to make that commitment to be more active in sharing my faith, because I want to grow closer to God who loves me and cares for me. Or maybe today you're saying, I don't have any of that, but I want to know. I've seen the peace that others have had, and I want it. I've seen the love that others have had, and I want it. I've seen the forgiveness that others have had, and I want it. Today could be the day in which you experience that. And I'll be down front. There'll be others down front. You could grab anybody in the room, and we'll pray with you and share with you. Let's pray. Father, today I ask that we would be a community of believers who are active in sharing our faith. Father, I thank you in advance that this week you will give us each opportunities for us to be faithful in sharing the gospel. And I pray that we will be open and looking for each of those opportunities where we can share the good news and love of Jesus. Father, I thank you in advance that those that we love are going to grow closer to you as you hear this prayer and as we see these opportunities that are before us to share your faith. God, I thank you that as we pray for these opportunities that we're going to see them. God, I thank you that even before this day ends, many of us are going to have the opportunity to share the good news and love of Jesus Christ. And so, Father, I pray that we will listen to those who are hurting and that we will point them towards the goodness that is found in your Son, Jesus. God, I pray that you would give us the eyes to see, the ears to hear, and the heart to discern when it is right for us to share the goodness of your Son, Jesus. That we will be active in sharing our faith. I pray that this will be each and every one of our prayers this week and in the coming months and throughout this year. That we will be active in sharing our faith. That we will be looking for those opportunities to share our faith so that the lives around us will be changed and so that we will continue to grow in our relationship with you. And Father, if there is one here today that doesn't know you, I pray that today will be their day of salvation as they turn from their sins and look to your Son, Jesus Christ, for salvation and hope and peace and joy that can be found nowhere else. We pray for all of this in the name of Jesus.